I was like, you know, she's probably going to say, well, he's a preacher, and at times he can put people to sleep with his preaching. And the irony is, he's even a preacher at night who keeps people awake at night. Okay. Or I was thinking about, I was like, no, why don't you say this, you know, I'm his wife, and he's married to a hot wife. And she's like, oh, but I don't know, she didn't want to do that. I was giving her all kinds of ideas. But again, for the ladies here, though, whose your husbands went to the men's retreat this past week, thank you so much for allowing them to go. We know that it was probably tough on you taking care of the kids and running around, but it was really a great time. So thank you for that as well. But I wanted to ask you guys just to turn to one another and fill in this blank here. The everyday life of a mother is. So just take a few moments just to turn to your neighbor. The everyday life of a mother is. Just kind of share with one another. You know, if you don't know each other, just kind of. Yeah. All right. Real quickly, so what did you guys come up with? How did you guys fill in that blank? The everyday life of a mother is. Throw it out there. What do we have out here?
Crazy.
Okay, good. What else?
She's like, it's like Groundhog Day.
It's like Groundhog Day.
Like, something that goes over and over again, but you try and, like, learn something.
Good.
Broken record.
Yeah, broken record. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Where's the more the special? Not exciting.
Privilege.
Okay, yes. Blessed burden. Yes, okay. We got it. Okay. We have exhausting, exhilarating, exciting, special, always changing, challenging, sanctifying, memorable. And, you know, the list can go on and on and on. And so in the midst of the cycle of dirty diapers, sleep deprivation, being a chauffeur, standing in front of the stove, the kitchen sink, the washer and dryer, may you be encouraged as Christian mothers. The reason why is that you have a job that is close to the heart of God. And our God will provide you with everything you need to accomplish this task. Have you thought about that? He gives us the grace. He gives us the strength. He gives us joy, the love, and even his own ear, the ear of the Father. And each of you are in a unique season of life to see God work in your child's life, but also in your life. Remember that you're teaching your child, and God is using your child to teach you. But have you ever thought about this? You're also in a very unique season to help minister and share the gospel with other moms who don't know Jesus and who haven't experienced the grace, the strength, the joy, the love, and the ear of our Savior. It's nothing like motherhood makes a mom realize, you know, our shortcomings, feel completely lonely and completely at a loss of what to say or what to do, exhausting physically, mentally, spiritually, and brings out and bubble our sins bubble up so quickly and so visibly. Nothing like motherhood does. But this is the world in which we live in. The motherhood missions field is kind of what I titled this message this evening. And there's three goals. Pardon me? Oh, sorry. This morning. I'm so used to speaking, okay, in the evening. I shared at the men's retreat, and I was like, I was going to say, oh, and this morning, and I was like, oh, okay, man, keep on switching. This is what happens when we have a wife who's here. You know, everyone else is silent. My wife just comes and just goes, excuse me, pastor, you're making mistakes here, okay? So three goals, though, that I wanted us to share, and I hope that this message, first and foremost, is just simply a reminder of the call that God has given to us as believers to share the gospel. So that's our first goal. The second is this. It's just to remind you of the essentials needed in sharing the gospel. So we'll talk about that briefly. And then the third is this, that you'll be encouraged to really see that the unique season of life in which you're in, and that it is a truly a missions field that you are in. And so that's kind of where we're heading for our message this morning. And with that, though, let me just ask the Lord to bless our time as I open this up in a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for the moms that are sitting here this morning. And I do ask and pray that you would allow them to focus upon you, really kind of put the mourning aside, maybe the crying and the screaming, maybe the tough mourning already, maybe the kind of disagreement with the husband. And Lord, allow the ladies just to be able to be like Mary, to sit at your feet and to be able to receive from you this morning. So we give you our lives, give you our hearts, and we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. So we have seize the moment now. The phrase carpe diem is a popular phrase, right? We've all heard it. Seize the day. And as moms, I'm sure you have a deeper appreciation for that phrase, especially if you have older kids, though, okay, where you begin to realize, already, Elise, I saw you this morning, and you're like, oh, Hudson is 8 months now? Oh, okay. But it seems like it, okay? But in certain ways, for those of you who are moms, you're realizing like time is actually marching. You can't stop it. It just keeps going on. And next thing you know, your child is going to be 2 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old. You know, for us, we're like, oh, man, our daughter is going to go to kindergarten next year. And motherhood makes you realize that phrase, carpe diem, just that whole idea about seizing the moment, seizing the day. And here's a quote that I found, but it says, somewhere between the youthful energy of a teenager and the golden years of a woman's life, there lives a marvelous and loving person known as mother. A mother is a curious mixture of patience, kindness, understanding, discipline, industriousness, purity, and love. A mother is the only creature on earth who can cry when she's happy, laugh when she's heartbroken, and work when she's feeling ill. A mother is as gentle as a lamb and as strong as a giant. Only a mom can appear so weak and helpless and yet be the same one who puts the fruit jar cover on so tightly even dad can't get it off. A mother is a picture of helplessness when dad is near and a marvel of resourcefulness when she's all alone. A mother has a fascinating ability to be almost everywhere at once, and she can alone somehow squeeze an enormous amount of living into an average day. But there's no greater thrill in life than to point to that wonderful woman and be able to say to all the world, that's my mother. And in certain ways, that's what it is where you guys are at. Motherhood is at times so exhausting, but other times you want to just bottle up and just cherish every moment as you can. And that's what we're trying to talk about this morning, is seizing the moment. Not necessarily in motherhood, per se, but we're going to learn about a man named Philip who seized the moment. Who seized the moment when God brought an opportunity for him, and which allowed not only his life, but the life of another person to be completely changed. Not only for that moment, for all of eternity. And that's what I hope we'll see here, is that you'll seize moments, throughout your motherhood years. Because God has given you some wonderful opportunities to be able to glorify him. But let's take a look in our Bibles, if you have them, and turn to Acts chapter 8. And we're going to take a look at a man named Philip, who God will use to minister to another man. He doesn't have a name, but he's just the Ethiopian eunuch. So Acts chapter 8, and we'll begin with verse 26. And I chose this message because our church is going through a series on evangelism. I thought it'd be appropriate just to kind of start it off for you moms. It says this, Acts chapter 8, begin with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join the chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. What we're going to see are going to be three things that will help us seize the moment in sharing the gospel message with another. So this is kind of the bulk of where our time will be spent. So the first is this: be Spirit-led and obey. Be Spirit-led and obey. So there are commands that Philip is given. If you take a look at verse 26, it says, "Now when the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south." And then verse 29, "And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot." So this is where kind of God is using his Spirit to speak to Philip and telling him what to do. The Spirit was leading Philip. And it got me to thinking, how do I let the Spirit of God lead my life, especially in the area of evangelism? You know, unfortunately, it's been some time since I asked, "God, lead me to a person who I can share the gospel with." Or, "God, let me cross paths with someone who's having a difficult time today." Or, "God, let me be sensitive to the Spirit's leading in my life." Isn't that a scary prayer? "God, would you bring someone in my life today so I can share the gospel?" It's a scary prayer. But in a certain way, that's kind of what God has asked of us. He wants to give us opportunities, but we have to be open to what the Spirit's leading is. Oftentimes, though, it's more, if you're like me, it's more me-led rather than Spirit-led. For example, what do I need to do? You know, what do I need to do to take care? What do I need to take care of today? Help me, Lord. And sometimes we forget. It becomes very self-centered, you know, self-focused, rather than saying, "Well, help me, Lord. Just let's lead me. Help me to look beyond myself." You know. But fortunately, Philip was a man who wanted to be led by the Spirit, because we see his response. In verse 27, it just says, "And he rose and went." Yeah, there's no delay, just he rose and went. And if you take a look at verse 30, "So Philip ran to him and heard him." Okay. There's kind of an automatic response of obedience upon Philip. You know, he heard the Spirit and he disobeys what God wanted him to do. And one of the main reasons why we don't evangelize is not because we don't know enough, not because we're not articulate enough, not because we don't run into non-Christians. Sometimes it's simply because we don't want to. We just are disobedient. And the main reason why Christians don't share the gospel is simply because we consciously or unconsciously don't want to follow God's command of sharing the good news. We like our own comfort. We like our own way of doing things. Okay. And no opportunities to share because we don't allow the Spirit to lead us. It's, you know, for you, I don't want it to be this guilt trip, but I'm like that as well. You know, we just get so caught up in the doing, we just need to take care of things that we forget about others or forget about listening to God. And this is what it all is, is just being able to listen, saying, Lord, help me to be spirit-led and help me and give me the faith to just obey what you ask. So begin to allow God to cultivate a willing and obedient heart to his command of sharing the gospel so that you may be spirit-led. Number two, be observant. Be observant. The passage gives insight into being observant and seizing the moment to share the gospel. Real quickly, just turn to your neighbor again and just share with your neighbor what Philip observed and eventually found out about the person he was going to share the gospel with. You know? So just turn, just, you know, as you take a look at the passage, what did he observe? What did Philip observe, you know, with the Ethiopian eunuch? You know, either before the interaction or during the interaction, what did he observe? Okay. So just take a few moments just to share. All right. So what did you guys come up with? What did just Philip observe? Okay, yeah. So he was observant. He was able to hear, okay, this man who is reading scripture. Okay. What are the things? So there was an initial question, and then Philip understood, like, wow, he was open. There was a response, you know, a positive response. Okay. Other things?
I think it's interesting how even in the opening, he would have observed that the eunuch was a different person than him, from a different country, yeah, and of a different class even, mm-hmm, and that before he would have known what the eunuch was doing, that he was obeying God's call to go to heaven to do whatever the Spirit wanted him to do.
Yeah, exactly. In a certain way, this is the first cross-cultural missions, you know, kind of recorded in the Bible here, in terms of like just one-on-one. You know, so he's Ethiopian, he looks different physically from Philip. Obviously, he had like this entourage with him. Okay, so this man was very well off. Okay. But for Philip, you know, for us, we have like someone who's super rich. I like have trouble speaking with them. But Philip was like, you know, hey, I'm just going to go up there and just talk. Yeah. So he's rich, prestigious. Obviously, he's educated. He's reading. Okay. This isn't no everyday kind of guy. It wasn't. So he was educated. He actually had a scroll, which was very costly. Okay, so again, another sign of being rich and prestigious. He, in a certain way, he was religious. You know, he had come from Jerusalem, okay, to make this travel to go into Jerusalem, to be able to go to the temple. I mean, that says something. Dedicated, eager, he had questions. But one of the things just to be aware of, there's like kind of three sub-points, is be observant by just keeping our senses open, though. And that's what Philip is. It says, verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him, okay, reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, do you understand what you're reading? Okay, so Philip just used his eyes, he used his ears, he just kind of used his senses to be able to understand, who is this person that I'm interacting with? Okay. And for you guys as moms, you know it already. You know, you can see, you use your senses, you can see, you can tell a mom who's having a rough day. You see like the redness in their eyes, or you can just tell the puffiness underneath their eyes. It's been a long night. Or you can see the kind of the joy as well. You know, when their child has just done something that, you know, the parent just, you know, just loves to see. You know. But just be observant, you know, of those who are around you by keeping your senses open. Number two is be observant by getting to know who you're speaking with. Verse 27 gives us details of who Philip is speaking with. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. In a certain way, this is are some things that Philip eventually got to know about this person. Because otherwise, we wouldn't have found out about it. But through conversation, Philip was able to understand who this is. And I'm assuming at some point, Dr. Luke was the one who interviewed Philip and asked him, what was it like sharing? Okay. So you be observant by getting to know who you're speaking with. So during the course of the conversation, Philip gets to know and gathers these different facts about him. And as you get to know the person you are sharing with, really, yeah, just ask good questions. I'm jumping ahead, but really get to know the person and be able to find out, you know, what's going on with his or her life, you know, in particular for the mothers. And one of the big things about sharing is this, sharing the gospel, is our people's motivations. They're always wondering. Here's what I mean by this. If you go and share with a person, they're always going to be like, what are you doing? You know, what is this? Why are you doing this? Where's the fine print? What are you going to kind of bait and switch me with? But sometimes we just have to share. The reason why I care about you, or the reason even why I love you, is because Jesus has loved me. And sometimes just letting them know your motivation for why you're sharing is so important. Because otherwise they're going to think, like, what are you going to do? Or what, you know, there's something, what are you... You know, because the world in which we live in, there's always something selfish about what someone offers. You know, have you noticed that? You always kind of are, okay, where's the fine print? But sometimes we just need to be observant. We need to know the facts, but then we just need to reassure them. The reason why I'm doing this is because, you know, I care about you. Because God has cared about me. Okay. And the third is just be observant by listening to the person's questions. As you listen to the person, you'll be able to gather where this person is at. And from this person's comments and questions, you can transition to talking about the gospel. You know, especially for moms, you transition to the gospel. And if you listen to people, you can find out about who that fellow mom is. And maybe that the rough time they're having financially. Or maybe if you ask questions, you can find out about that mom whose mom is going through a tough time. Just with health. You know? Maybe you can just ask good questions and you realize that, you know, the mom you're talking to, their daughter is going through just difficulties with her health. You know? That's why she's missing so much school. And as you ask these different questions, you begin to think about how does the gospel minister to her where she's at? You know, how does the gospel speak to about hope? Or about steadfastness, or about there is something better in the future. Yeah. About just even how to be patient with your child. How does the gospel play out as you begin to ask good questions? And so the Ethiopian eunuch just asked two questions, verses 31 and 34, that Philip helped answer. And sometimes we just need to ask, you know, ask questions and we find out where they're at. And these questions revealed what he was struggling with. What the Ethiopian eunuch was struggling with, and were used to point this man to the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he's the answer to all of our most pressing needs in humanity. But our most pressing issue is the area of sin. And that's what every mom struggles with, Christian and non-Christian. So it's not picking up on new hobbies to interact with non-Christians, but just realizing that you in your everyday life are interacting with people, with other moms, you know, all the time. And it's like so weird at the park. You can be at the park with your kids, and moms will just talk to each other, like automatically, you know. Or at the store, you know how you have people come up to you. Moms just kind of gravitate towards one another. It's like, oh, one of those days, you know, the kids running around, and, you know, just these types of things happen. Right? Or just, you know, you think about you're dropping off your child at the preschool. You know, you have these interactions, and all of these are possible relationships and friendships that the Lord has given to you to minister to them. So what we're trying to say is, we're not trying to say add new hobbies to what you're, but just think about what you're already doing, and just say, Lord, you know, just lead me. You know, help me build friendships so I can love and care for them and see if we can transition into sharing the gospel with them. Okay. So it really is the second is what we talked about, just being observant. Just being observant. And number three is this. Be willing to share the gospel. Be willing to share the gospel. And so we ask, do you understand what you're reading? And this sets the course for the conversation. And this is where, if you are in the sandals of Philip, your heart starts racing and your thoughts start flying around about all these different things about the gospel. What should I do? How should I say it? You know, what's going to happen here? But read verse 35. It says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Understand that the answer to all of the issues we face, and to even the joy that we experience and the transitions that we go through in life, that the answer is Jesus Christ. And that's one of the most difficult things, though. It's like, in your mind, you're like, how should I say it? How should I say it? But Philip just opened his mouth. And as we continue to have Christ, as we treasure him, if we just open our mouths, the truth about Jesus is going to come out. It is going to come out. And there, you know, the person you're sharing with may have a lot of difficult questions, you know, a lot of difficult situations. But all we can do is just remind ourselves, Lord, help me. You know, so in your mind, you're like, Lord, help me. Help me to say the right things. And the Lord provides you the right scriptures or the right way to say things, the right counsel to give to them. And from there, you're able to then share the gospel about, yeah, the gospel's not only for your salvation, but the gospel is for your everyday life. And that's what we're trying to do as Christians, right? Talk about how the gospel gets played out, not only for our salvation, but for how you're dealing with motherhood. The challenges and joys of motherhood. How the gospel gets played out in that. So the challenge is transitioning from the everyday conversation to the gospel conversation. And Philip told him about the gospel, and we see that this person searching for answers gets the answer he's looking for. The Ethiopian eunuch gets to hear about what his heart is searching for. And his life is changed dramatically. And what is so interesting about this is that as we share the gospel, we don't know what the story is. But historically, there begins a very strong Christian church in Ethiopia. And in certain ways, some people speculate, this man may have been very influential because of his position with the queen to be able to help start this church. And it's just so awesome where Philip just obeyed, he was observant, he asked good questions, and he opened his mouth and shared about Jesus. And that's so wonderful to think about that, how maybe the mom that you may share with, how that mom, if she comes to faith, it will eventually be able to share that faith with her child, maybe be able to share that faith with her husband, maybe be able to share that faith with a sister or with her mom and be able to see what happens. And in some ways, some of you are maybe the result of that as well. You know? Either your mom was ministered to or maybe you were ministered to and now you have that opportunity to do the same. And that's what's so wonderful about being willing to share the gospel is because we won't know the full story until we get to heaven. But what a wonderful time it'll be to hear, like, wow, Lord, I was so scared, but I just wanted to obey you. And we may just find out like these wonderful stories that will follow afterwards in heaven. And so, what is successful evangelism? It is simply this. It's sharing the gospel. Remind ourselves, we're not in the business of changing hearts. That's what God does. Successful evangelism means just sharing about the gospel with others. Regardless of whether or not a person comes to faith, obviously we love for them, but that's God. For us, we just share. And if we just share the gospel, we can leave knowing that, yeah, God was honored through that experience. Okay. And so we transition now to share the gospel. And in your groups here, in sharing the gospel, this I kind of ask a loaded question, this one. So just turn with your neighbor, okay, because you can just turn with your neighbor. But what is essential when sharing the gospel? What do you think needs to be shared? You know, what are some of the foundation stones that need to be shared when sharing the gospel? Okay, so just turn with your neighbor, you know, and just ask, what are the essentials? What are the things? All right. So what did we come up with then? What did we come with? You know, it's I think for us is a little story. We had a small group leaders meeting a few weeks ago, and we wrote down on the board, evangelism is, and there were two ladies in the group because they lead the women's group, and all of the rest were the guys. And so the guys were having all kinds of other, like, things, like evangelism is scary, evangelism is this, evangelism, you know? And then, like, in my mind, I'm like, it's like, we're missing something big here, right? Okay? And we finally get to the ladies. They were the last group that we asked. And they finally share evangelism about Jesus Christ. And all the guys are like, oh, my goodness! You know, it was just so fun. I was like, thank you, ladies, for reminding us about what our faith is all about, okay? Oh, but you guys nailed it on its head. Really kind of in the little book that we're going through in our small group time, it just talks about four things. And you can elaborate upon it, but one is just God. Okay, that is. I'll just kind of give you the format: God, sin, okay, Jesus, and faith and repentance. And we start off with God, just talking about who He is. Yeah, we live in a world where, people don't believe that there is a God. You know? But we try to establish that there is a God who created everything. And especially as moms, you just say, for those of you who are moms who have difficulty in conceiving, you just understand really how precious life is, how really it is a miracle, how life can be formed. But that there is a God who is out there. And this God is holy. And as He's created everything, He's in charge of everything. But unfortunately, as He's created everything, number two is that He created humans to be in a relationship with Him. But we kind of raised our fist in our rebellion of Him. You know? It's kind of like your little child, son or daughter, raising the fist. You know, and you can kind of use that analogy, what it's like. Okay. But it's because of that sin now that there is a separation. But in order to restore this relationship again, this is where Jesus came. And where Jesus said, I want to restore this relationship between the holy God and between humanity. And this is the reason why I came to live, to die on the cross. Someone needs to be punished for the sins. It's either going to be you, or Jesus says, or it's going to be me. And Jesus said, I'm willing to take the sacrifice. I'm willing to take the punishment so that you don't have to. And so this is why Jesus had to die on the cross. But we don't believe in a dead God. We believe in a living God. And He was resurrected again to show us one day, for those who follow after Him, that this life is just the beginning point, just the starting point. We have all of eternity. And in order to accept that, there's faith and repentance. Faith is just complete trust that Jesus is now going to be my King. He's the one who I'm going to live for. And no longer myself, but it also takes repentance, saying, I want to turn away. I need to do a U-turn. There's a cost. And it means not living for myself anymore, but to live for Him. And that gets played out in everything. Everything from just the big things of my life to even the small things of my life. And so that's what we're talking about the gospel. It's just knowing it well, just being able to ponder it well, know how to transition from just everyday conversation to just talking about the gospel. And just letting it flow from our mouths. You know, even as you talk with a mom who's going through a rough time, you say, I've had one of those mornings too, but you know one of the things that's helped me? I'm reminding them that God has been patient with me because I've been so impatient with him. But God has been patient with me so that I remember that so I can try to be patient with my daughter or my son. You just think about these little things about letting the gospel just kind of bubble out from us. So those are the four things: God, sin, Jesus, and then faith, and then repentance, turning away from our ways. And so again, if there's even as you walk out of our church, on your right-hand side will be a little kind of the bookshelves, and in there's what they call like a little Two Ways to Live pamphlet, and that's what we're going to be using to teach about how to share the gospel. But if you know if you go to another church or if you're not part of our small groups this season, you can just take one of those and just kind of read through it and kind of see how it's presented, and it'll help you organize your thoughts at least. Okay. So share the gospel, and we have to make sure we understand what we're sharing. And just last is this. I end with see the opportunities. I want you to see the unique missions field that surrounds you as a mother. That is the purpose of this morning. And maybe there's just three groups, but this is out of many. But you can think about them. These are groups or mothers that kind of are invisible in certain ways. Okay. Maybe it's the opportunity of helping a mother who's from your neighborhood. Now, maybe you don't get to see them too often, but maybe just being reminded of them who lives next door to you or across the street or in the apartment next to you. Okay. Number two is the opportunity of helping a mother who is sojourning from another country or who may have immigrated to this country. They are especially a tough time. They may not even have family around. They have the enormous challenge now of language and not knowing the culture. These are really unique opportunities for you to be able to minister. You can imagine living in another country, being a new mom, how challenging that would be. And just being able to help them out, I think that would be a wonderful opportunity. And number three is just the opportunity of helping a mother who is single. There are a number of moms who, just are doing it alone, and just trying to find out ways you can help them out. Okay? And, for those of you who are at Lighthouse this past Sunday, you could add to the list the opportunity of ministering to a mom with a special needs child. That's also on the list there too. But you can think about it. Lord, you just ask, Lord, help me. Who do you want me to have the opportunities to minister to? Help my eyes to be opened to the moms that are out there that I'm crossing paths with. And then here are some questions you can think about when ministering to another mom. One is observe the challenges this mother faces. What are these challenges? Ask how you can minister to this mom. How can you be a light shining for Christ by loving this mother? Maybe identify with this mother's heart idols. Get to the heart of the issue. What is this mother seeking or searching for in her life? And maybe last is just kind of the gospel. What may be some objections this mother may have to the gospel? And really, in the end, though, you guys are in a very unique situation. It's so weird. Moms can just talk to any other mom. It's just regardless of where, there's an automatic connection. And really see that as an opportunity. And you guys all know how challenging it is. And how challenging it is without Christ. That is what is crazy. But we have Christ. And we're able to share that with others. And I really hope that it really is that you leave here being excited. That God has given you the gift of being a mother, but also God has given you this gift so that you can use it to be able to glorify him in many ways. And so that is the challenge for you as well as the encouragement to use this season of life. See this motherhood as the missions field for his glory. With that, let me close this in a word of prayer. Father, this life as a Christian is going to cost us. In certain ways, it's going to cost us our comfort. In certain ways, it's going to cost us kind of getting out of our comfort zones. In some ways, it's going to cost us our time. It's going to cost us our energy. It may even cost us our money. But Lord, help us to be good stewards of what you have given to us, so that we may help other moms. Lord, be with the moms here and allow them to be spirit-led, allow them to be observant, allow them to be able to share the glories of Christ with other moms. And Father, I do pray that some of these moms who will be ministered to will come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And not only them, but their children as well, and their surrounding family. Lord, I pray that you would just put upon our hearts and put upon the hearts of these women before me just a certain mom that comes to mind. And Lord, give them the faith and give them the courage and boldness to be able to really just be friends and to love these other ladies, but also when the opportunity arises, to share the gospel with them. Father, we thank you so much and just encourage us. Help us, Father, in this endeavor which you've given to us. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, with that, there.